Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
Good someone going, my goodness, you know what? I see the fault. I claim it. It's mine. God, please help me. You know? And that's all about sanctification. That's what we're learning about in here is saying, you know what? I see from the Word of God the faults in my foundation, the cracks in my foundation. I'm able to say it is my fault. Because what we do a lot of times, and we don't want to even claim the fault, so nobody claims the fault, so the cracks stay there. And you know the funny thing about cracks, they don't get smaller. You know, I've never heard anyone with a foundation problem in their house go, you know what, darndest thing, we had this giant crack in our house. We've had it for years. It's shrinking. It's getting smaller. It's going away. Foundation's just kind of shifting, evening out, looking good, fixed, happy with it. It gets bigger until someone goes, hey, you know what, we've got to fix that. And the longer it goes, think of a house, the bigger problem it is. Because what poor people would like to do if we didn't have any morals or integrity would be just to kind of keep selling that house with the foundation problems and kind of cover them up so that somebody's finally going to have to deal with them. And some of us have had to deal with houses that no one disclosed a foundation problem, and then it costs a whole lot of money. And so that was just really interesting. So what we're doing in here is we're saying, gosh, you know what? Me personally, not someone else, but me personally, I see the crack. I see the fault. I see it, and I claim that fault. And God, please help me with that. You know, it's just in realizing how desperate we are for Him and how much we need His help. Because otherwise, we're like yard lizards. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to snort, but... I did, so I thought I might as well call attention to it. Funny thing about snorting, no, I'm kidding. I learned so much just from being in the yard or just hanging out, because I don't do anything in the yard, because Lacey calls me the doctor because working with plants. He says that they come to our house and choose death, and so he works in the yard. But, you know, those little green yard lizards that come out about this time of year, and they're so hilarious because a lot of times if they know you see them, and they change color according to wherever they're going to be so that they'll blend in, and it's their defense, it's their camouflage. So they know you see them. I've seen them before where they get on a leaf, and instead of running away because they know you see them, they just get on the leaf, and they're really, really green, and they just kind of go, I'm a leaf, 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 I'm a leaf. You know, they're going, I'm a leaf, I'm a leaf, I'm green, I'm a leaf. And it's just the funniest thing, because what I thought of is that's how we do so often as Christians. We're like, I'm a Christian, 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 I'm a Christian. And God shows us the things that He wants to change in us, and we're not Christians because we can go to church and turn real green and get on a leaf and say, I'm a leaf. That's what lizards do. Or we can go to church and we'll start talking right and behaving right. It's not about our behavior, it's not about our color, it's not about what we are on the outside. It's about what's going on the inside, you know? And that's what God cares Because there are people, honestly, that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, they're still blaming their mom or their dad. They're still blaming a tough situation. And I'm not belittling that some people have gone through some pretty tough things, but at what point do I say, you know what, my bad attitude, my impatience with my husband, that's my fault. Instead of saying, well, what's his fault? See, because what we like to do is we like to see, okay, that's my fault. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to fix that. I don't want to fix the foundation. I don't want to look at your fault because your fault is causing my fault. And you don't do that with a house foundation. You don't walk through and go, there's a fault in the foundation, and then go, you know what? I don't really care about that fault. I want to know what fault to fix is causing that fault. You're like, well, fix that fault, and let's fix some of the other faults. And so when we come in a class like this, and we look at what the Word is bringing that to us, it is important for us to not just say, well, something laughed about in here, well, I'm Irish, or I'm German, or I'm this or that, or I have this temper because my whole family did, or I can't forgive because that's not my personality. Like, I've had people say before to me, Kevin, I can't forgive because I have an excellent memory. Where is that in the Word, you know? No one has to forgive except for those of you with excellent memories. You know, so we have to quit talking about who we are and say, you know what, who do you want me to be? And on the way over here, I was driving over here by myself because I was running late. Lacey had to take the kids and get over here and get things set up. And thank you, Lacey. And I was like, God, thank you so much for seeing who I would be and not who I was. And thank you so much, God, even now, in seeing who I will be and not who I am. So he sees past all those faults, and he just wants us to give them to him. But he wants us to recognize them and say, this is who I am. You know, I see this is really who I am. I really need you. A couple years ago, I don't know why I remember this, but I guess thinking of excuses, I heard a really great evangelist about 5 or 10 years ago from another state. He was talking about how he was needing to forgive someone, but he was so angry at them that it was really hard. And he was saying that he's half Hispanic and half German. And he said that the Hispanic side of him, and I'm going to say it the way he said it because I think we've gotten so politically correct that we can't even talk anymore. He said the Hispanic side of him was so angry, and the German side of him was so angry at this person, and God was telling him to forgive this person. The Hispanic side of him goes, you know what? We're going to beat him. We're going to kill him. We're going to make him suffer. We're going to kill him. No, kill him. Just switch back, kill him. And he said the German side of him said, no, comrade. We're going to slowly torture him and watch him die. And he said, but the Holy Spirit in him was saying, no, you know what? I don't care who you were or your ancestors were or whatever. Once you belong to Jesus Christ, you have to walk in love. And that's what we're talking about in here is allowing the Holy Spirit to show us our cracks, the faults in our foundation, our faults, and saying, that's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault that I'm impatient. It's my fault that I'm unforgiving. It's my fault that I'm unloving. It's my fault that I'm selfish. Please help me, God. I recognize it. I don't want to be just like a lizard on a leaf kind of Christian that says, well, do I look like a Christian on the outside? I'm just trying to fool people. I want to please you on the inside. I heard a quote not too long ago that said something very significant. I wrote it down as quickly as I could. And I don't know who to give it credit for, who to give it credit to, but it's so good. Watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your character because that becomes your destiny. And I thought all of that started with watch your thoughts. I mean, it started with watch your thoughts all the way to that destiny. And so I thought that was so applicable to where we left off, because we started talking about when we're trying to forgive someone, we needed to really look at God's word that he says four times that I could find, and maybe more, not to remember. That when he forgives us, he chooses not to remember, and that we're not to remember. So when we're forgiving someone else out of obedience to God, we are to choose to not remember. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have any recollection of what happened, but it means that we don't go and dwell on the thing, the event, the person that hurt us. We don't go back and remember. You know, if you think about words, which I love words, and y'all know that by now, that I'm a total word freak, but the word remember, the word member is like a part of something. And the word re means to do it again, you know? And so remember means to take a part of something and re-put it back together like the members of a body. And it's saying, the word is saying, God is saying, when we're forgiving someone, we are not to put back together the crime scene. We are not to put back together the hurt. We are not to put back together the feelings. We are not to recall. You hear the words again? See, calling from the past, something that's supposed to stay in the past, we're not to recall. We are not to remember. We are to forget. And so that is what God does for us, and that's what he tells us to do. We talked about 1 Corinthians 13 saying love keeps no records of wrongs. We talked about the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive me my trespasses, just as I forgive those who trespass against me. We want God to forget the things that we have done. We want that clean slate. How many of you are really happy about Lamentations 3:21, that God's mercies are new every morning? I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy about that, because I don't know about you, but I used up all God's mercy yesterday. And I knew that, and what's so great about God is that even the mercy I used up this morning, he's given me more mercy. And you say, Kathleen, you know what? I'm not going to know what you teach this morning, because you were impatient with your husband. And you have too many faults. You have way too many faults. You're impatient with your husband, and you don't always put your children first. Not only that, you don't stay on a budget very well. And when you do, you brag about it. And you tell everybody that it came to Walmart and it was $9.99. And I'm tired of that. You have too many faults. I'm not going to want you to teach. See, God's mercy is so great. He's so good. His word is so anointed. And he uses cracked pots. I mean, he uses us. The Bible says we're earthen vessels. And we all have. But the only way for us to change and to change from glory to glory, instead of just being like a loser, I'm green. The only way for us to change and not just try to look like a Christian, but to really be like Jesus, is to recognize our faults. And so I had to recognize that I could forgive people, but I was really bad about remembering, putting back together the past, putting back together the things that were hurtful, and then not understanding why I couldn't love those people, or love, or even stay in a place of peace. I wanted you to look at something real quickly. Remember, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, means to mention. It also means to think, record, recall, call to mind, but it also means to mention. Remember, in the Greek language, means to call to mind, keep in mind, but it also means to mention. Isn't that interesting? The word remember in the Greek language, the language of the Old Testament, the original, yeah, New Testament, and the word remember in the Hebrew language, the language of the Old Testament, both has a root meaning to mention. Now, why would that be? See, when you're wanting to remember something, you mention it a lot. If I send Lacey to the grocery store, he doesn't like taking a list. He's going to remember what I told him. But what does he do? You know, I hear him sometimes like, okay, milk, eggs, butter, flour. And he's remembering by mentioning. It keeps things in mind. It keeps things alive. It keeps things fresh. Now, why does God want us to use the word of God out of our mouth? Because it keeps us remembering Psalm 25:7, remember not, do not mention the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. Mention me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. We start looking at the word remember, and we connect that with the word mention. It's going to hold a whole new dynamic for us. Because when we want to remember something, we mention it. You know, if you want your children to recall something, like, say they're in here with you today, and you want them to remember one thing from this lesson, you might go to lunch, and you might mention it to them. Why? You want them to remember it. You want them to recall it. You want them to talk about it.
good things that He's done for us. He wants us to remember that we're forgiven. He wants us to remember that we're loved. What does remember mean? It means to mention. He wants us to mention that. God, thank you. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm forgiven. That's what He wants us to mention, not our past. He also wants us to remember Him. If you look at communion scriptures, Luke 22:19, 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 25, all three say, and He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, God wants us to remember His sacrifice. But there are lots of things He tells us not to remember. I'm just going to read a few. Psalm 79:8 says, remember not against us. And this is what we don't want God to remember for us, so we need to also keep this in mind for others. Remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Isaiah 43:18 is the scriptures that I've been talking about earlier. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. What is he talking about? He's not talking about, hey, don't remember all the good things that I did in your life. See, God didn't say that. God wants us to remember. He says to keep in remembrance the things that he's done. In the Old Testament, when God would do a miracle or do something to deliver them or help them, he said, I want you to build a monument here. And they would take stones and they'd build a monument. And we're supposed to do that the same way with our families and our children. Maybe not with stones, but we're supposed to say, you know, I want our family to remember when mommy was healed of cancer. I'm going to mention it. I want our family to remember. But I don't want our family to remember when the doctor made a mistake. I don't want my family to remember when mommy was so hurt that this, this, and this. I don't want to remember that. I want to give God the glory for the good that he's done. So Isaiah 43:18 is saying, do not remember the former things, the hurtful things, the things that are in the past that you did wrong and I did wrong. Don't consider the things of old, the things that have been taken care of, the buried dead things. Don't dig them up and gnaw on them. But consider that I'm doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:25 says, and here's God speaking, I, even I, and he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Isaiah 54:4 says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. I mean, God is constantly saying, please forget about it. It's like the Godfather. Anybody into the Godfather movies? I used to love the way they go, forget about it. Just forget about it. And I hear God saying that, just forget about it. And some of us are better than others. But I used to be that person that was like, you know what, God, it's so hard for me to forgive because I've got such an excellent memory. There's no pride there. And some of us do. You know, it's amazing how you can, and there are other people in my life that do too, and you can be in a disagreement with them, and they're like, they're going back to, okay, you know what, also in 1976, when we were having the same discussion, and they can like pull out the stuff that you're like, where do you keep that stuff? 1976, and in 93, when we were walking in Target together, that is another time when this happened. Okay, and also, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I thought we already had, you forgave that. Well, I still remember. God says to not mention so that we can forgive. But we can't say, oh, I have such a great memory and I have a hard time forgetting, so therefore this is not applicable, any more than I can say I'm half Hispanic, half German, therefore I've got a bad temper and I'm a villain. I can't do that. So God tells us not to mention our sins. God doesn't remember our sins, and he tells us to do the same thing. To forgive as our Heavenly Father forgives, we must choose to forget the sin by not dwelling on it and not mentioning it. I wanted us to look at just a few words. Resent. Same thing. Resending the message. Isn't that amazing? You know, if I continue to resent someone and seethe with resentment and bitterness, resent means resent. I'm resending that same hurt to my brain. And I'm reinforcing it even more if I mention just kind of human nature with maybe some of us more than others to have a pity party. You know? And the enemy wants to invite you to a pity party as much as possible. Do you know that? But we have to refuse the invitation because he wants you to recollect all the things you did wrong. And he wants you to recollect all the things of your past. And he wants you to resent the people that have hurt you. And he wants you to sit down with a big cup of coffee and just feel bad. Because if he can keep us in the past, we can't go on to the future. And that's why God says in Isaiah 43:18, do not consider the former things. Don't go there. Don't mention them. Leave them in the past. Make sure you've forgiven them. Let them be covered with the blood of Jesus. But leave them in the past. Don't consider the former things, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. How can I go on to who God's created me to be, and how can I go on to the joy and the peace and all the things that God has for me in my life? You know, one of my favorite scriptures says, in the Word, says that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, that's so good. But I haven't even seen it. I can't even perceive it. I don't even know it. But I can't even move forward into that if I remain in the past. And I remain in the past by mentioning and remembering and recollecting instead of saying, I'm a new creature, I forgive myself. And you know what? God's forgiving me of so much. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I forgive you too. And I forgive you too. And I'm not going to mention it anymore. Why? God told me to, number one. Number two, I don't want to mention my sins. I mean, I don't know how you would feel or I would feel if every time we went to pray, the Holy Spirit said, hi, I'm glad you're praying. Could we talk again about what you did when you were 20? So it still bothers me quite a bit. But see, I've done that to Lacey. Well, not 20, but close. I need to learn to forget. And it's going to be so freeing. How do we do this? It's a good question. One of the things that I've mentioned in here, and I'm gonna rush through this like a month ago, is not going there. And you know, I'm so simple, which I'll figure it out, didn't take very long. I've gotta have simple things so that I can apply the Word of God to my life. Because the Word of God has set me free. It saved me, it healed me, it changes me. I don't know what I do without the Word of God. And Jesus taught in parables, and I love that because they're word pictures of things we can remember, like a buried bone or a lizard or a fault in the foundation, you know? That's the way I learn. And several years ago, I was like, God, I really, really want to do what your Word says. Your Word says not to remember, and I don't want to remember. But you know what? The enemy comes to me with thoughts. I don't even have to try to remember because he comes to me with thoughts. And he tries to suck me back in the past and suck me back in the hurts. And they come to my mind, what do I do with those thoughts? What do I do? And God gave me this little meditation. It's actually in a book that we're about to publish called Dare to Be Rare for women and girls that's been revised. But it's called Caller ID. What comes to mind when I say phone solicitor, prank caller, or even phone scam? Personally, what comes to me first is thank goodness for caller ID. Many of us remember the days that we had to answer every call because there was no method of determining who was calling. Now we can see who it is, and we do not have to answer every call. I mean, if you're sitting down and it's 6:30 and you're finally eating dinner, of course, for most of us, it's 8:30, but you're sitting down and you're finally eating dinner, and you look at caller ID and it says, you know, some obvious phone solicitor, you don't pick it up, do you? I mean, we don't. And so, thank goodness for caller ID. Let me connect something spiritual here. let me back up. All of us receive phone calls on a daily basis in inopportune times and sometimes even from unwelcome sources. hopefully as Christians we're not rude to those persons who are honestly trying to make a living by selling something over the phone. No, he's not. But there are calls that are best left unanswered. Let me connect something spiritual here. In the Old Testament days, there were no caller ID. If you look through your Bible, you will see that Satan is barely mentioned in the Old Testament. Jesus is the one who taught us to identify the devil. Jesus gave us caller ID, spiritually speaking. Jesus gave us caller ID. Think of this in history. Think of it this way. There are some thoughts sent to us from the oldest solicitor in the book, Satan. He is not only a prankster and a scammer, but a terrorist and a murderer. And when he shows up on our caller ID, we should never answer his call. Jesus IDs the devil in many scriptures. Here are a few. John 8:44 says that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And then John 10:10 describes that the enemy is a thief as well. And it says that he comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. So Jesus gave us a way to ID which thoughts would be from the enemy. And it's so simple for me. I mean, if a thought comes and it's anything that would kill, steal, or destroy for me, my family, my day, my peace, my happiness, pretty easy, caller ID. It's the devil, don't answer it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. We need to take Scripture seriously and get in the habit of taking every thought captive to God's ID program. Other ways to ID the devil and the lying thoughts he sends to you. If the thought is, number one, contrary to Scripture, don't answer it. That's pretty easy. If it doesn't line up the Word, don't answer it. Don't go there. Number two, not love, let it go. God is love. Everything about God is love. If the thought is not love, let it go. Don't answer it. Don't go there. Satan is fear and hate and negative things. Number three, images that are contrary to God's life plan for you. And hang up. I don't know about you, but sometimes God, you know, I'll be having a perfectly wonderful day and I'll just have this image of this horrible, dreaded thing. And we're to hang up on that, not go there. So this is a way of identifying what is the enemy. And if it is, we don't have to answer it. Be on the alert. ID thoughts at all times. Here are specific thoughts to hang up on. Past memories that dredge up pain. Anybody answer those calls on a regular basis? Hang up. Unforgiving or malicious feelings. Tormenting thoughts. Something that tells you that what God has assured you will never really happen. Fearful or dreadful thoughts. Ring a bell. Next time, don't answer the ring. We can take thoughts or we can reject thoughts. Just as we can take calls or we can reject calls. God specifically tells us that there are some thoughts that we aren't to take. 6 times in Matthew 6, I thought this was so interesting, Jesus says, take no thought. And each time the thought is a worry thought. What to wear, what to do, what to eat, what to. Satan loves to send us worry thoughts because it keeps us from trusting God and seeking Him first. And I'm going to stop there. I don't have time to read the whole thing. But God's given us a system of caller ID. And when Satan sends us thoughts from the past, when he sends you old hurts and old pains, we need to not take the thought. Recognize it on caller ID. Don't even go there. And don't mention it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you that you see us, you see the faults in us.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.